Well, it's good to be with you this morning, and thank you very much, Stephen, for inviting me and for Angela for leading the worship this morning. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord and to rejoice in all that He has done for us. And if I'm too loud, I'm sure you'll put it down a bit, because I have a very, very loud voice. I don't apologize for that. It's not my fault. It's just because my mother came from Northern Ireland, and the Northern Irish have pretty loud voices, as you know. So that's part of my inheritance from my mother. But it's good to be with you this morning and to share in worship, and also to share around the Word of God. You know, the Gideons, they are not a Bible distributing organization. We do distribute Bibles, but our sole aim in distributing God's precious word is that men and women, young people and boys and girls may come to the reality of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. And this is not to decry preaching, because preaching is extremely important. The Word of God emphasizes it time and time and time again. But I believe, and I trust you will believe with me, that the Word of God has the power within itself to transform the human heart. And if I didn't believe that, I would leave you now. Because Paul, writing to Timothy, says, this word is God-breathed. It's God-breathed. And the breath of God's word, as it is read, can transform the human heart. And I'm just going to read a very familiar passage of Scripture to you. Well, I trust it's familiar, and if you don't, if you've never heard about it, then I must apologize, but it's very familiar. It's from John's Gospel and chapter 6. It's actually the feeding of the 5,000. And I just want to share a little bit with that before I talk to you about the ministry of the Gideons and the exciting things that are happening as people get hold of God's word and it transforms their lives. Here is God's word, and it's from the New International Version. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. That is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him. Why? Because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Just a couple of thoughts surrounding this very, very important passage of Scripture, but a very familiar passage of Scripture. And I want to hang my thoughts, as I bring them to you this morning, also the challenge of the ministry that you have here as a fellowship, and the ministry of the Gideons as we go out and seek to place in the hands of our society, whether it be in a hotel or whether it be an individual, God's precious word that is quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. My first thought on this is the vision of the need. The vision of the need. What do we read in this passage of Scripture? When Jesus looked up, he saw a great crowd. Friends, this morning, out there in this town of Blackburn are great crowds of people. The songwriter says, doesn't he? Give me a vision, a heart-sharing vision. Open my eyes, Lord, I pray. Show me the sighing, the doomed and the dying. Give me a vision, I pray. And out in our communities, where we live, where we work, where we shop, there are crowds of people whose hearts are aching, whose lives are empty. Why? Because they haven't got the personal relationship with the sovereign Lord of glory. They think they are living, but they are existing. Because Christ said, as he talked to them about him being the good shepherd, he said, why have I come? I have only come for one purpose, not to live a good life, although he did that. He lived a perfect life. Not to heal the sick, although he did that. He healed many who were sick and oppressed of the devil because God was with him. He came for one sole purpose, to go to the cross of Calvary, to shed his precious blood. Why? Because he could offer then life in all its abundance. He came to bring life, and life in all its fullness. And he saw on this occasion, he saw the vision of the need. He saw the crowds. Often, on many occasions, he said, and he saw the crowds and he viewed them, having compassion on them as sheep without a shepherd. And the good shepherd had come that he might bring life and vitality and energy and a loving relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. That our sins could be eradicated, completely forgiven. And we could say emphatically and sing emphatically this morning, because our sins are forgiven, no condemnation. Now I dread Jesus and all in him is mine. Not all that I have, but all that is in him is mine. Life, vitality, forgiveness, the Holy Spirit, all that is in Jesus can be ours this morning. And he viewed out upon that crowd and he saw a multitude of people. And then he asked a question. And the question was this. He asked it to one of his disciples, Philip. He said, Philip, where shall we buy bread that these people may eat? Have you ever considered that Philip was a politician? Because Jesus asked him a question and he responded with a different answer. Where shall we buy bread? So Jesus was saying, where will we be sending? Where will you get the bread from? And all Philip could think about was, we haven't enough money. So he says to him, Lord, if we had 8 months' wages, we'd not buy enough bread for each one of them to have a bite. You see, what was Philip's problem? And what is our problem sometimes? Philip's problem was one of resource. Lord, we've looked into the bank, and you know who keeps it, Lord. It's that chap Judas. And we've looked into the bag, and there is insufficient resources to feed this multitude of people who are needy, who are hungry, who you're seeing as sheep without a shepherd. You've given us a vision, Lord. You've seen the crowd. But Lord, we're impotent because we haven't got sufficient resource. And then we move on. So we have Philip, whose problem is one of resource. But there's a man in the crowd. I love this man. He's another disciple, and he's called Andrew. Why do I like Andrew? Because Andrew's always introducing people to Jesus. He's always looking, and he's finding people that he might introduce them to Jesus. And have you, how is Andrew always introduced? He's always introduced on a low level, isn't he? Oh, even in this scripture it says, and another of disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. You see, it was as if Andrew didn't have an identity. He was a nothing, he was a nobody. And you only recognize him because he's Andrew, he's Simon Peter's brother. Have you ever been introduced to people like that? You're such a body's wife, or you're such a body's husband, or son, or brother, or very important person. And Andrew, he's always been introduced by, oh, he's Simon Peter's brother. But hold on a minute. When Andrew met Jesus, what was the first thing he did? He went and found Simon, his brother, that he might introduce him to Jesus. Are we introducers of people to Jesus? Is that what we're desiring to do as we live our daily lives, as we come into contact with people, as we stand by them in the checkout? Are we introducing people to Jesus? The opportunity is there. And Simon Peter's brother, was introducing people to Jesus. In that crowd, what did he find? He found a lad. And he knew that lad had something. He'd seen what he'd had. And he took the lad and introduced him to Jesus. And he simply said this, Lord, there's a lad here, and he's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. And then, like you and me, brain connects with what he said. And he says, Lord, but what are these among so many? There are only 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. So we've got Philip, who's hung up on resource. We've got Andrew, who takes the initiative and finds a lad that he introduces him to Jesus. And what about the lad? What part does he play in this great miracle of feeding the 5,000? Well, simply this. He gave what he had to Jesus. He could have been selfish, couldn't he? And we're all a bit like that. I have to admit, I'm a bit like that sometimes. He could have said to Jesus, hold on a minute. These are mine. These belong to me. And it reminds me sometimes of the Old Testament when Jerusalem was surrounded. And they were starving for food. And out of the city went some lepers. And God had been at work. And the enemy that was circling round Jerusalem, God had dispersed them. He'd sent his Holy Spirit to aggravate them, and they dispersed. And the lepers went out. And they saw before them everything that they needed. Food, clothing, money, anything that they wanted could be theirs. And as they enjoyed it, suddenly one of them woke up and he said, hold on a minute here. This is a day of good tidings. And we're holding our peace. The city needs food. And we found it because the enemy has fled. And all we're doing is satisfying our own desires. We need to go back and share the good news that there is food in abundance for all those in the city. And I sometimes wonder, are we holding our peace against the good tidings of redemption and salvation and forgiveness and hope and liberty to men and women who we come in contact with? So the lad gave what he had. five barley loaves and two small fish. And then what happened? Well, simply this. He gave them to Jesus. And this is my last thought. Philip hung up on resource. Andrew seeking an opportunity to introduce people to Jesus. The lad giving to the Lord what he had. And then what happens? Well, the Lord takes that is limited, insufficient, and inadequate. So that food was limited. It couldn't feed 5,000. It was inadequate and it was insufficient. But in the hands of the Master, he fed a multitude. And brothers and sisters, it may seem insufficient. It may seem limited. It may seem inadequate. But as we hand ourselves and our giftings over to the Lord Jesus Christ, he takes us and he uses them and he meets the needs of the multitude that we come in contact with. Why? Because they all missed what he said. I read it, and I wonder if you missed it. I missed it on numerous occasions as I read this great miracle. Here it is. He asked Philip that question to test him. And then the Holy Spirit, as John wrote this gospel, says this: for he had already in mind what he was going to do. You see, leave Christ out of the equation and we're limited, we're inadequate, we're insufficient. But with Christ, he knows already what he is going to do. As we hand ourselves over to him, the vision of the need is people. There was one occasion when Jonathan was with his armor bearer, and they were going up to the citadel of the Philistines, the stronghold of their enemy. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Shall we go up and destroy them?" And his armor bearer seemed a bit reticent. And then Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "There is no restraint with God. There's only two of us, and there's many of them, but there's no restraint with God whether to save by many or by the few." God fed a multitude with that which was insufficient and inadequate and limited. And guess what? There was more left over than he started with. Because God is a God of fullness. God is a God who abundantly fills our lives and fills people's lives with his goodness. So the Gideons. I was going to show you some slides, but hey, I'm on a roll and time is pretty limited. But let me tell you this. You know the Gideons. We said they work, they put Bibles in hotels. They put these little red books in the hands of young people in our secondary schools. They put these in the hands of our armed forces. And these in the hands of the Northwest Ambulance Service. 4,000 Northwest Ambulance personnel have got a little green book. And most recently, we put this in the hands of the Lancashire Constabulary. 400 have already gone out, and another 400 are already being asked for to put into the hands, not only of our policemen and women, but to the staff who work throughout the Lancashire Constabulary. And guess what? be put it into sports clubs. Recently, Everton have agreed that they will take a New Testament and Psalms with their badge crest on to hand out to their players and to their staff. You see, we believe that God's word is a tremendous word. But you might say, but does it really work? Does God's word really work? In hotels, in hospitals, in schools, in our neighbourhoods, in our communities. Well, let me tell you this, it does. Peace at last. Peace at last. Just 15 minutes and I'll have peace at last. Why? Because this brother was serving a life sentence for murder. He'd thrown a punch in a drunken brawl, and Andy had ended up in prison as a lifer. He was in Leicester prison, and between 8:45 and 9 o'clock, he knew he wanted peace at last, because Andy had made a noose. And in those 15 minutes, the prison officers on his corridor would change and there would be nobody there. And in those 15 minutes, Andy was going to take his life. He would have peace at last. And then suddenly, a little inner voice said to Andy, just read that little blue book. And Andy said, what good is that? You see, a Gideon had been into Leicester prison, and he put little blue books like this in the cells of prison. And Andy ignored it. But it came again, just read that little blue book. And the third time it came, just read that little blue book. So Andy picked that little blue book and he took it off the shelf. Now then, here's the question. You're giving a Bible or a testament to a person who's never read the Bible before. Where are you going to ask him to start from? What important message has the Bible got to say to them? What gospel? What epistle? What book would you recommend? Well, you see, Andy didn't have anybody with him. And all Andy knew, that when you get a book, you start at the very beginning. Because as the song says, let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. And so Andy started at the very beginning, the book of Matthew. And what does it say? Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. But you see, God was at work. Because Andy got down to this. And he got to verse 16 of that genealogy, which we would probably skip over. Come on, let's admit it. Let's admit it. Another genealogy. You're reading through the Bible and you're saying, oh, not another genealogy. We'll skip that chapter. And Andy didn't. He started at the very beginning. And then he read this. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of who was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. And Andy, for the first time in his life, wanting peace, said, wow, he's real. This Jesus is real. And that night, Andy continued to read. He got to the Beatitudes and he began to weep. And then he got to the prodigal son. And he read about the prodigal son. And he fell on his knees. And he said, Jesus, if you can do that for the prodigal, you can do that for me. And that night, Andy did get peace at last. He got it. Not in the way he wanted, but because God has spoken to him in his precious word. His heart was wonderfully transformed. Just 12 months ago, Andy was released on parole. He's now in Stoke, and he's serving the Lord out of the church there, witnessing for him and sharing to others on the streets the good news of the gospel. Why? Because a little blue book changed his life through the divine intervention of God's Holy Spirit. A little red book. And we go into schools and people say, is it really worth it? Because some of them are thrown away. I say, thank God for the one that are thrown away. Because in Garstang High School, there was a little lad who received a little red book like this. And he put it in his pocket and he couldn't wait for home time. Not just because he was going home and he was leaving school, but it was a wonderful opportunity to get rid of this little red book that he'd been very pleasant in receiving it from somebody who had given it. Andy left the school gates. And what did he do? He got it out of his pocket and he simply, as he passed the grass that was quite overgrown, he ditched it. And no, Andy. God's at work. 10 minutes later, an elderly lady with her dog went past that little green patch of grass. And her dog just was attracted to something in the grass that was red. And so she followed it over. And, she picked it up. And she looked at it. And she took it home. And she began to read it. She was 83. She'd never been to church for years. But she knew down the road there was a Free Methodist church that was running Alpha course. And she joined that course. And guess what? She came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because some little lad, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, threw a red book down in the grass for that lady to pick it up and find faith in Christ. Now, you would say, but what about little lad? Well, you know what I say to him? God will get you. You see, you think you've got rid of the Gideon's little red book. But hold on, you may go in hospital. And what will you find in your locker? You'll find a little blue book left by the Gideons. And then what? You might go on holiday in a hotel. Or you're on a holiday camp in Butlins or somewhere else. And you'll open the drawer. And what will you find? You'll find that irritating book left by the Gideons. And then hold on a minute. You may, and they're on the table, you may join the Scouts. And what will you find? You'll find a book like this with a scout crest on. And what is it? It's a book from the Gideons, which is the Bible. And then you may join a football team. And you may get something like this from your football manager. Because it's a book that God's actually made and given a produce for you that you might read it. Or you might join the police force in Lancashire or Manchester. And what will happen? You'll come across a little blue book with a crest of the Lancashire Constabulary on. And what will you find inside? You'll find that irritating comments that you threw away when you were 13 or 14, that little red book. Because what? As we sung, God is after you. He'll smash wall dams. He'll put you somewhere. He might even put you like Andy in a prison where you'll find another little book which tells you about the goodness and the forgiveness and the salvation of Christ. So is this ministry of the Gideons worth it? Well, if it's not, I wouldn't be a member of it. But the ministry of God's word is reaching out to men and women and people and transforming their lives. I could keep you, and I'm not going to do, I could keep you here all day telling you stories and incidents where God has used his precious word to transform people's lives. And we're not an exclusive operation. In fact, we were once exclusive. People thought we were something different. Well, we've never been something different. But because people thought that, we're going to change our whole philosophy. And our desire is to work in operation and in communication and in partnership. I don't like that word, partnership. God's about relationships. To work in relationship with local churches, to actually be part of the gospel, of the outreach of our Lord Jesus Christ. So sorry I've kept you here longer than perhaps I anticipated to do. But never forget, there's a vision of the need. And forget about resources. Be an Andrew and introduce people to Jesus and allow you to be available to him so he can take the limited gifts and the limited abilities that you may have, and he can take you to a soul that needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Saviour. Thanks for listening. And may God bless you as you serve him and witness for him in the days in which we live. Amen.